Good evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart. Very excited to be here for another week, sharing stories with you, maybe some knowledge, wisdom, current events, just having a conversation like you would with your friend over a cup of coffee in your living room. The media is on fire about this Olympic situation. The opening ceremonies, the sacrilege, Christians are up in arms, everybody's in a state of excitement and anger and disgust, maybe a little bit of shock thrown in there as people talked about the images of a beheaded Marie Antoinette. So we're going to talk about that a little bit for the first half, or maybe a portion of the first half, depending on how my flow and my role are tonight. And then I want to talk to you about a new method of holistic healing that has taken hold and become very popular, and my experiences with that and how it affected the person who experimented with this treatment that was supposedly safe and effective. Aren't they all nowadays safe and effective? If I have a somewhat cynical tone to my voice this episode, there's a reason for that. I'm feeling cynical. But going back to the Olympics, I have to be 100% honest with you. And, you know, for me as a person to be able to talk about things on my show, I feel as though there has to be an essence of translucency. There has to be translucency, not just an essence of it. But honestly, I wasn't even aware of what happened until this morning. I'm in a strangely energetic environment this week where there was a huge thing that comes into my town, and it's a big festival, and there were people everywhere, and I had an opportunity to partake in some of the festivities and enjoy some downtime for a change, which was very refreshing and wonderful, and got to catch up with some people and spend some time with some people that I haven't been able to visit with in 4 to 5 years in some cases, 10 to 12 years in others. So it was an opportunity for at least part of the weekend to rejuvenate and catch up and relax a little bit. And so I took full advantage of that because I really needed that. My body needed that. My psyche needed that. So I wasn't paying attention to current events. And in this case, honestly, I'm not going to pay much attention to it now, but I do want to go over some things. I would like to share with you possibly a different perspective on the whole Olympics debacle. It may be a perspective that you already share, or maybe a perspective that you're not open to at this time, but I would like for you to at least hear me out. Part of what I like to do on my shows is sort of playing the devil's advocate at times, giving you different viewpoints that you might want to consider, because everything is not shut up in a box. And when we look at things from sort of a blinder type perspective, and we're very close to other ideas, we're not always able to see the full picture. I think that it's imperative, especially in today's times, when we are told over and over again to use our own discernment, that we need to have discretion as to what we allow in, as to what we allow to filter in to our psyche and to our energetic fields. And we have to be open to the fact that things just aren't always as they appear. It's not always black and white. And what I'm finding is I'm sort of not really going head to head, because I don't find the need to exert myself energetically that way. But what I'm finding on some recent interviews that I've done is when I try to broach my opinions on what may have happened or my thoughts on what might have occurred in different scenarios, I'm coming up with or up against some resistance from people who are just so steadfast in their beliefs. And no, 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 it didn't happen that way, it happened this way. And, you know, basically what I think is some degree of foolishness. But again, folks, there's a lot of deception going on, and we need to be open to different types of thought. That is one of the rights that we have as Americans, and one of the rights that is being taken away from us bit by bit, piece by piece, whether it be a Facebook jail time or getting kicked off of social media or engaging in hours and hours of countless pointless debates on our comment section, which is something I haven't done in years. But you know, there's a lot of bots and censorship and things that are thrown in there to agitate us and excite us when we comment on something. You might not even be talking to a real person. You might be talking to a bot. But all of this thing is designed energetically, I feel, to incite us, to elicit certain emotions that the bad guys want to use energetically to help strengthen their rituals, number one, first and foremost, and also to distract, number two. And they're both kind of neck and neck as far as I see it right now. Creating the energy of anger and fear and anxiety and further creating the chasm between different people of varying thought processes, whether it be religion, politics, etc., is what the bad guy's goal is. And so this is their last stand, folks. It truly is. It's what they're doing to further divide and conquer. And I'm just hoping that enough people wake up to recognize this before it's potentially too late. I've read articles by Catholics and Christians on their stance as to whether or not people should be able to, in keeping with their faith, interact with the Olympics, view the Olympics, root for the USA, and there are lots of articles out there that say, as a Christian or Catholic, it's okay to watch the Olympics and to root for your team, and that it's showing national support. It's showing support for your country. It's showing support for the people who have trained for years to be able to participate in these events. And it's entertainment. It's something fun and interesting and at times exciting to watch. And there are a lot of people that are pushing the Olympics as a form of entertainment, as a form of showing support for your country. If you don't watch the Olympics and you're not showing support of your country, maybe you're not such a great person. That's the energy around some of these articles that I'm reading as well. That in today's precipitous times, there are people that feel that we need to be in support of the United States and we need to be in support of our country. And while I can certainly appreciate that viewpoint, I feel as though there would be other ways, potentially, that we can support our nation and our country without it being an entertainment type scenario. And that's just my opinion. I used to love the Olympics as a child. I used to love particularly the ice skating And little known fact, I grew up roller skating. When I was 3, I was actually scouted to potentially be personally trained for this type of event. And I gave it some thought. I was a little kid, and when I was about, I don't know, 8 or 9, 10 maybe, it was brought to my attention. There were people scouting, and I was being considered, and I talked with my family about it and decided against it because in my little mind, I didn't want to be tutored at home. I wanted to be able to go to school and engage in normal activities with my friends, and I didn't want to give that up. And so my family supported my opinion on that, and they stood behind me and said, okay, well, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it, which I greatly and love and appreciate them for. But the roller skating duets were something that my dad and I practiced for years, and we were really good, and I was a good skater, and there was some potential there, according to other people. And so, you know, I did have what some people might consider a missed opportunity to make the big time, but my little mind was recognizing the sacrifices that would have been involved to do so, and I just wanted to be with my friends and have a normal life. I'm not sure how many people have done the actual research on the Olympics, but they were created to honor the god Zeus. In fact, the very name comes from Mount Olympia, the mountain that Zeus was supposedly from or lived on. And they were created to honor the ancient Greek gods. Back then, married women were not allowed to attend, but females could with their father or their brother or uncle. I can't remember exactly. Prostitutes, however, were encouraged to come and were brought in from all different places. There was feasting, there was partying, there was ritual, there was sacrifice, there was prayer going on. Athletes are originally sacrificed to Zeus and made a pledge to Zeus, and so that they would win. Greeks used to participate in the nude, which other cultures weren't really down with, but there was the prostitutes, some of them were actually priestesses that honored Aphrodite, the goddess of love. War was actually halted during the Olympic Games so that competitors and observers and the market people were safely allowed to travel to get to the games without being attacked. So in that aspect, I can understand how the spirit of Olympics and being brought together for different people to be able to compete and that feeling of inclusiveness, I can understand and relate to that. In fact, the founder of the modern day Olympics, Pierre de Coubertin, I hope I didn't kill his name, saw the Olympics as a substitute for war. The Pope John Paul II hailed the Olympics as he was an avid soccer player and he skied, so he also supported the Olympics as a way to have competitors come in a spirit of competition, healthy competition without war. So he sort of borrowed from the book of de Coubertin, in my opinion, and I'm sure that he was slanted because he was an athlete in his own right. Pierre, by the way, was a devout French Catholic, so it fits with why Pope John Paul would also support that thought process. However, the original Olympics, there was a few things that were very graphic and violent. Chariot driving was a very dangerous, bloody sport where people were brutally killed, sometimes dismembered, in the course of that event. There was another event called, I think it was pancration is how it's pronounced. It was sort of a combination of like boxing and wrestling. It was a no holds barred kind of street fighting event where people would maim and seriously hurt others during the course of that event, and they were very bloody at times. There was one guy who was given the nickname, I think it was No Fingers or something like that, and he would fight with his fingers straight out, and he actually disemboweled his opponent during one of those events. It was extremely graphic and bloody and disturbing. Theodosius banned them because he felt they were too pagan, and there was also an ulterior motive at that time because he was trying to turn Christianity into the predominant or the state religion, and his successor Theodosius II ordered his Roman army to destroy the Olympic Stadium. In my opinion, it's just like how Constantine and King Jimmy changed and left out parts of the Bible. They were trying to steer people toward Christianity as they had created or recreated it. Christianity as they wanted the people to believe it was, when in essence it wasn't. They took parts out, they switched parts around, there were things that were changed and created, and we could go on and on down that whole road and talk about Christmas and when Jesus was born and all of that, but we're not going to do that today. So I heard something happened at the Olympics, and I went to YouTube and I pulled up a video, and what I had noticed was there was actually, I was on social media first doing some research, and there was somebody had posted a link to a video which has already been taken down and scrubbed. So I went to YouTube and did a search, and there was a still picture that was on a gentleman's video, and I watched two or three short videos of different people reporting on the events of the Olympics. The reason that they used to scrub these videos is because the Olympics committee, I think it was, had copyrighted the Olympic ceremony or the broadcasting of the Olympics and the ceremony, and so due to copyright laws, anybody else that posted it, they took it down. So what, wasn't that convenient? So there were some still frames left, and the image that I saw was the one that was ridiculing the Last Supper. And when I looked at the image for just a brief few seconds, in my head, I was hearing very adamantly, as I do when I'm getting a message, Roman Colosseum, Roman Colosseum, distraction. This is a distraction. Someone told me about the images of Marie Antoinette, the beheading, whether or not it was AI, I'm not sure how that played out. I really don't care to know how it was created, because my intuition had already told me, I was given the message, this is a distraction. This is something to further divide the masses. It's something to get the Christians all excited and in an uproar in. And what I wish that some people would be open to is the idea that this potentially was a very successful way for the Olympics to gain more notoriety and attention. People are talking about this incessantly since it's happened. They're doing shows about it. They're doing broadcasts about it. They're doing news stories about it. Thomas Jolly, I did see, who was the creative director for the opening ceremonies, apologized in public for wanting to be inclusive. He said that he wasn't wanting to offend anybody. He was just trying to be inclusive because in France, everybody's inclusive and they wanted everybody to feel comfortable, or however he worded it. But he meant no offense. That obviously, blatantly, is not the case. And when I think back to when I was a child, how families and children watched these events and took great pleasure in watching, you know, the bobsleds and whatever other activities were included in that particular season's Olympics. And it was something for the family to do. And I'm sure that children would regularly attend, and there were probably possibly thousands of children in attendance at the most recent opening ceremonies. And it does hurt my heart that people were subjected to this sort of violence and vulgarity and sexualism that was involved. That bothers me, because children are so innocent. I don't feel that it was appropriate in any way, shape, or form for that to be put out there for children who did not have the opportunity, or their parents who did not have the opportunity to say, oh, well, if they're going to do this, we're not going to attend this year, or we're not going to watch this year. I don't want my kid being subjected to that. Or just us as emotional people. I've talked before on my show about highly sensitive people and the emotions that it would potentially evoke for them, as, you know, seeing all this graphic violence and the sexuality and the whole LGBTQ thing, all of that, and just people in general, normal quote-unquote people who are watching this, and the emotions that were elicited as a result. But there again, that's what they were looking for. It was clearly a shock tactic meant to elicit certain emotions that they use in their rituals, just like the Super Bowl halftime show. I did watch a couple of brief broadcasts where the media panel was talking about how, well, they pick on Christians. They always pick on Christians. Why didn't they pick on the Islams or Hinduism or any other religion? Why did they choose Christianity? Because they say Christians are told to turn the other cheek, and they didn't feel as though Christians would fight back against this sort of atrocity. Whereas one of the media hosts, actually a couple of them, said, if you did that to Islam, boy, there'd be a problem. You'd be in trouble. There would be violence. To me, anyway, that seemed like part of the scripted media thing all over again, where we've had instances of media stations all across the country and the host or the broadcaster essentially handing out and verbally reciting almost the same exact words, if not the same exact words. There's an energy that they're trying to create, and I'm hoping that some of you are open enough to understand that. Please don't take it in a condescending manner. I'm not trying to be that way at all. I'm just trying to help you open up your minds and possibly consider a different scenario from what you had originally depicted in your mind. Christians all over the place, not just in our country, but in many others, are up in arms over this obvious disrespect to their religion. But another thing that I'd like for everybody to consider is, even though, and I'll give you this, it was totally disrespectful, it was very graphic, it threw in the faces of Christians, the whole LGBTQ movement, undoubtedly to incite people under the guise of trying to be inclusive. The depravity that was portrayed brought disgustingness to a whole new level. And this is comparing apples to watermelons, I suppose. But I have to say this. How many Christians out there have shared the memes of Donald Trump with a crown of thorns on his head, or with his hands uplifted to the sky and a shining white light around him, or him being in the image of him with the flag, with the blood running down his face, and angels all in the background, or the video of the flag that was flying at his speech where the attempted assassination occurred, in which the flag appeared to, due to the wind blowing, take the shape of an angel in flight. And that did happen, I suppose. I don't think that it was digitally recreated. It may have been. And while that may have been a real life scenario and something that may have happened, the depictions of he being shielded by angels, or in the armor of God with a sword, or with the crown of thorns on his head, I've actually seen memes of him portrayed almost in a cross-like stance, as though he were being persecuted as Jesus was. And while I could feel the heat from here, many people could possibly be thinking, it's not the same thing, it's not the same thing at all, it's totally different. Please open your mind and think. Were some of those memes in a milder, gentler energy portraying Donald Trump as Jesus? Would that be considered blasphemic? Different levels of blasphemic, but isn't it in essence the same thing? Isn't it exactly the same thing? You're portraying another figure as Jesus, whether it be in a positive or negative light. Are we not? I don't think I misinterpret that. I think it's the same thing, just on different levels. And if you're listening to me right now, you may think, oh my gosh, she doesn't like Trump, and she's an anti-Trumper, and she's anti-patriotic, and can't you see what this poor man has been through? He's been through so much. He's sacrificed so much for our country. He sacrificed his family, his personal safety, his family's personal safety. Look at what he's done for us as a country. Where would we be without him? And while I agree with some of those statements in part, I was a huge advocate for Trump. I was shown him winning the election. I was shown what Hillary Clinton did. However, I was also told to watch him in the future. And I do believe that there's a part of what's playing out here that is somewhat orchestrated. You could believe that or not. You're entitled to your own opinion. Was the assassination attempt on him a real thing? And was it wrong? Absolutely. An attempt on anybody's life in a public setting or in a private setting is always wrong. And yes, the man has suffered countless persecutions, and so has his family. I understand your perspective, but please be open to mine, that this is still, to me, an instance of hypocrisy in some aspects. And with the Olympics, it's simply a matter of getting us excited and look over here, while they're doing two things. They're looking to use your energy, and they're looking further to create a wider chasm between people. And I will say it again, if we stand together and we put aside the BS and we all come together as humanity, as a whole, intrinsically interweaved, we were created to be all as one, but separately. We are all the same energy. We share the same energy and vibrations as our fellow man, and also with the environment to some degrees, to the plants, to the trees, to the animals, all of that. And that's my perspective. And I hope you can appreciate that and maybe be open to considering that. I could very well be wrong. I could be wrong. But I don't think so. And that's okay. You can choose to be right or think you're right, and I can have my perspective. But please pray on these scenarios and use discernment. That's what I ask. Above everything, that we pray on things, that we meditate on things, and come up with our own conclusions and use our own discernment, and don't buy into the theatrics. I'm going to pause right here and take a musical break. The music is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, who also does my introductory and exit music. And I'm so thrilled to have him allow me to use his music on my shows. He is all over the place. He's on SoundClick. He's on Reverb Nation. He's everywhere. You can find great music. You can contact him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Please check him out and give him a note. Let him know that you like his music and support him in whatever way possible. This station, I'm on three different networks now, they're all totally listener funded, and we rely on your support to keep shows like mine and others going. Please get on the main page, check out the other shows that are there, maybe join the chat room, and support us. We're totally listener funded and depend on your support to keep going and provide all of these great shows for you to listen to, or maybe in my case tonight, to yell at. But at either rate, if you have your own business and you want to be a superstar, please contact the owner. And if you don't have a professional commercial, I'm sure that he and the producer could come up with something that you're really happy with that promotes you and supports us at the same time. It's just a great way for us to be able to help spread the word, whether it be on my show or on the network in general, about your business, and for you to be able to support us as well. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the second half of the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. If you need to contact me, if you feel that you need some spiritual help, if you're looking for some intuitive guidance, if you need some help with healing or ways to learn how to effectively use your energy to pray and focus, and if you need to learn ways to protect yourselves and your family spiritually from some of the things that we're encountering, such as the scenario with the Olympics, please contact me at Maggie_Hart, H-E-A-R-T, at Outlook.com. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
I want to love you. I want to give it to you free. Expect the best, baby. You're going to get it from me. I want to love you.
And we're back for the second half of the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. I'm your host, and you just listened to Just the Thing by Pat Carr. One thing I wanted to note real quick regarding the Olympics is they do have a charter in place, and one of their rules under Section 50, Advertising Demonstrations or Propaganda, does say no kind of demonstration or political, religious, or racial propaganda is permitted in any Olympic sites, venues, or any other areas. So to me, it just is keeping in line with what I said earlier. It's something that wasn't allowed to incite the masses, but I just wanted to talk about that really briefly. So here we are. I got a call. It was an emergency call from a very good friend of mine whose daughter that I've known since she was a relatively young child. Let me preface this scenario by letting you know that my close friend has gotten the series of jabs and at least some of, if not all of, the boosters, and as has her daughter. And so her daughter's had all the shots, all the boosters. In fact, when this whole COVID scenario played out, it's my understanding that my friend's daughter was very adamant about the whole family getting the jab and touting the potential benefits of having the jab, and was just all for it, all in. So I got this call, and she was frantic, my friend, and she wanted to know if I would do an emergency healing on her daughter because she was having some depression issues. And immediately my spidey senses started to tingle, and I could feel that there was a lot more going on behind the scenes than what maybe even she was privy to, but I did feel as though she knew more than she was letting on. She wanted to kind of let my energy dictate and see where it took me and see what I could come up with just how I'm built. So I agreed. It was a very long day, but I agreed to, you know, just pop out there and see what I could do to help her. And so I did. I went out there, and she was very nervous at first. It had been a while since we'd seen each other, so there was a few moments of relative uncomfortableness while we got reacquainted. And then after we started to talk, that all just kind of went away. And I totally got a sense of giving up from her. And so I approached her with that, and I asked her directly. I said, I can feel. In fact, before I left the house, I had been praying and meditating on it, and I got a lot of information from that very short session of prayer time and preparatory time to get ready to go for my appointment with her. and I felt an extreme desperation. I felt as though she had all but given up. I definitely felt the spirit of suicide around her. I also felt anxiety and fear, hopelessness. Just, it was a very, very desolate, energetic situation that I was picking up on. And when I met with her in person, my intuition was further affirmed by her spoken words. When I asked her straight out, you know, I said, you're considering suicide. And she didn't lie to me at all. She openly admitted it, that she was at her wit's end. She didn't know how to heal. She didn't know how to get past this. And she had pretty much given up, and just, she burst into tears. It was a very emotional time. While she let go of her emotions and expressed to me how she was feeling. And before I went down there, her mom actually gave me a tidbit that I wasn't aware of. And her mom had told me that her daughter actually now was starting to believe that it was as a result of the jabs that she was having some of these issues. And so keeping that in mind, I was thrilled to hear that, because for me, it gave me the hope to know that I would have the possibility to talk about that with her and see how open her mind was to recognizing the fact that some of her problems were as a result of the side effects or whatever is in the jab. So we talked about that too, and she openly, you know, very truthfully said, yes, I do feel as though some of my issues are related. And while she's always struggled with some anxiety and some depression and just some difficulty in interacting with others and some, let's call it, social discomfort, I've always known that she was intuitive to some degree, as we all are, but she did show early on when I had first met her and over the successive years some degree of sensitivity. So as an empathic, we know that a lot of us struggle with some of these ailments because we're empathic. Actually, because we're more open to our empathetic side, some of us more readily than others. But at any rate, she had most recently become even more reclusive. And it was very easy to fall into that pattern during the COVID period, let's call it, because so many people did mail order groceries and went and shopped on the computer and picked up the stuff in their car and didn't have to interact socially with a lot of people. It became more comfortable and more convenient for so many that struggled to begin with, that it made it easier for them to not have to interact with people socially. And so for some people, it became comfortable and they got used to that. And as the COVID debacle has somewhat subsided, at least now for the present, apparently, what happens in the future remains to be seen, she just took that and ran with it and started to become, after her jabs, more reclusive, really didn't want to leave the house. She had to leave the house for work, but she was able to work at home, and whenever she was able to work at home, she took full advantage of that. But increasingly recently, the symptoms were getting worse, and she was becoming even more reclusive and more depressed and more anxious and more fearful. And while I think it's important to note that she was seeing a medical doctor as well as a therapist, it seemed as though her psyche was declining. Her emotions were becoming more stronger, and her feelings of depression were becoming more prevalent. And I've spoken to and worked with people that have taken the jab who have followed this same course. It seems as though 6 months to a year after getting their first shot or their series of shots, those traits came out even more. And people that hadn't previously expressed issues or previously did not have issues of this nature, all of a sudden were having issues of this nature. Some of you may be able to relate to that. Maybe you're having those same personal experiences, or possibly a family member or loved one as well. But it's definitely something that's happening as a result of people who have taken the jab. So my friend's daughter was seeing a therapist, and the therapist recommended that she try the lens neurofeedback therapy because she thought it would help her. So this is a girl that's already struggling with a lot of issues, and she made an appointment, and from what she told me, the Sunday previous to the appointment was the last day that she was able to get any sleep on her own. She went for the appointment on a Monday, and at the time of our meeting, it had been 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks, since she'd had the treatment. Since she had the treatment, she was not any longer able to sleep on her own. She was not able to naturally fall into a sleep state, and as a result, she found that she was up all night long. She had tried herbal teas and different homeopathic remedies to aid in her sleep, but she was not able to achieve sleep at all. So the therapist or the doctor prescribed her with some pretty heavy-duty pills that would make her go to sleep, and because they were so strong, she, you know, it knocked her out, and she didn't feel comfortable with that. And it frustrated her that since her appointment, she was no longer able, no matter what she tried to do on her own, to obtain natural sleep. So she was at her wit's end, and she does have a child, and we talked about the ramifications of what would happen should she do something detrimentally to her own well-being, and the ripple effect that that would have not only on her child and her husband, but her family in general. And I did internal prayer work and healing. We did not get into the spiritual ramifications of what would happen should she chose to take that route, but I made her understand how valuable and how loved and how special and how awesome she was. And I helped her to understand how much her family and her child and everyone loved her so very much, and how Source loved her. And while we do differ on spiritual beliefs, the fact that she knows that there is something higher but isn't really ready to embrace the God factor, the Christianity perspective, which is what she was raised in, I could appreciate that. My choice is not to be militant about my beliefs in a situation like this. I want the person to feel comfortable and to trust me, and I already knew that I had her trust, but it wasn't the time for a spiritual lecture. I needed to focus on getting her feeling better and getting her to a place where she wanted to keep on living. And I also did a lot of intensive prayer work silently over and on her, for her and with her, in the sense that our energies were tied. She wanted to live. I knew that she wasn't ready, as much as she expressed the fact that she was ready to give up. I know she's a fighter, and she wasn't. Her spirit was not ready to give up, and that was just a blessing in itself. She was just frustrated and didn't have a way out. She just simply wanted a good night's sleep. So I worked on her for, we talked for about 45 minutes, and then I worked on her for about 2.5 hours, which typically I wouldn't do a session that long. They usually range from half hour to an hour, depending on the severity of the situation and what I felt. But I did feel the need to keep going and try a few different modalities with my prayer work, which I was able to, I think, successfully achieve. I could see her body becoming more relaxed. She was becoming more open. Her eyes were shut. She was peaceful. I asked about her session with the neural feedback, and she told me that they attached, you know, the little white circles to her head with the wires, and they had her lay on a table, and it didn't hurt, and they told her that they were going to realign her brain so that it would help her with her depression, anxiety, some other issues she was having. And we talked, and she realized that certain things physiologically and mentally were changing inside of her. She felt as a result of the jab, and she was adamant in that whatever they did to her during that neurofeedback session changed something somewhere that did not allow her to sleep. But then in the next breath, she asked if I thought she was crazy. She was worried that she was losing her mind. Because of the sleep deprivation, we know that that could cause some hallucinatory issues and some paranoid issues. And she was looking for support from me, that I didn't think she was crazy and that I didn't think she was losing her mind. And so I assured her of both of those things, that I didn't think that at all, and that I also was convinced that the changes that were happening to her were absolutely as a result of the therapy. So I asked her what was involved, who gave it to her, and she's like, well, they're highly recommended, and there are RNs that are there, and the RNs are the ones that administer the treatment, and they told me that there wouldn't be any side effects, and it would be gentle, and that I just couldn't sleep anymore. It is my belief, and I did relay to her that I thought that I could absolutely help her with the power of prayer and the tools that I was using, i.e., I had some sound healing equipment with me, and I did use some essential oils, but mostly it was an energetic prayer-based session. What my intuition told me was that I could fully alleviate the issue, but that it was not something that I would able to do in just one session. I would need to do 2 or 3 sessions to get her feeling back to normal. And so I relayed the information that was given to me, and I told her that she should feel considerably better after this first session, but to know that it wasn't something that would be totally resolved after the first time. I would need to see her a couple of more times, at least once more, maybe twice, before we saw some substantial results. And she made a mental note of that, and I perform my treatment on a Reiki or a massage table, so that I'm able to be able to navigate and reach all parts of the body as I'm praying over and, you know, sharing the energy, the healing energy. And I offered to leave the table at our mom's house for now, and I could take it as needed. But that way, for the most part, it would be there should she have another episode where she felt like she needed help immediately, so I could just run right down there and do my work without me having to drag a table back and forth, and I would just grab it in the meantime as needed. I gave her some oils that she could burn to help to calm her, you know, just to chill her out a little bit as she was in her home, and I told her to call me at any time, day or night, and anything that I could do to help her, I would, and that she wouldn't be in imposition at all, and that she shouldn't feel as though she were imposing, but to call me or text me at any time, day or night, and I would be available for her to utilize as a sense of support and a sense of prayer. And I left it to her. I left it to her to decide whether or not she would call or not, or whether or not she would revert back to the medication and try and figure it out on her own, or maybe try another source to see if somebody else could do something different for her, a different type of treatment perhaps. But I do feel as though I will see her again. I know that her mom, she did go home and she was able to rest, but her mom said that she wasn't able to sleep without taking the lower dosage of the medication that the doctor slash therapist had prescribed. So what I'd like for everybody to be aware of is, just because there's a different technology out there or a different type of holistic healing, please, even if your doctor or therapist recommends it, do not jump right into this treatment, because you just don't know what the ramifications are going to do to you. And when you have somebody hooking up electrodes and wires to your brain especially, that's something to very, very highly consider, because as safe and effective as people tout these things to be, you don't know two things. You don't know A, anything about the device. You just know what the reported results are and how gentle and effective they say it is. But you also don't know about the person who's giving you the actual treatment. How well trained are they in that technology? How much do they know about the equipment that they're using? Are they using their judgment to turn up or down a dial or change something around that could potentially change your life and possibly for the duration of your life on this planet? Given the fact that she had taken the jabs, did that somehow alter her brainwaves already? And then as a result, the quote-unquote treatment that was done on her, did that throw things totally askew? I feel as though that's definitely a possibility, if not a probability. Also, having said that, the way that I feel when I work on people is that the longer that it's been since they've had the jab, and depending on the amount of boosters, the psychological and physiological symptoms of things that happen seem to become more and more progressed, and depending on the person's individual makeup, sometimes much, much quicker than others. I see people that fall into a very quick physical decline, mental decline, spiritual decline, and I see people who progress at a somewhat slower rate. But this girl had the jabs and had more than one booster, to my understanding, and so I feel as though that definitely did not help her situation at all, that it was extremely negative for her situation. And in fact, if those symptoms weren't exacerbated as a result of the jab, she wouldn't have gone through the neural feedback training to begin with. So please do your research. Look for truly holistic, non-invasive ways to heal without jumping on the bandwagon just because something's trendy. I got a request to wish my wonderful producer on the ERRT radio station a very happy birthday. This show will broadcast on his network on Tuesday. His birthday's Wednesday. So happy, happy birthday, Bobby. I hope you have an amazing, blessed day. Thanks all for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.